my Matrix jokes about submission, but it's not, I can't think of one.
Hi, everyone.
It's going to be like, we asked you to submit, and boy, did you lay down. Like,
I'm nauseous. Oh, my God. Well, she's right, folks. We did ask you to submit, and boy, howdy, did you. So many of you have quit that we wanted to ask our patrons, hey, tell us about why you quit and tell us everything.
I love when people quit.
So that's what we're going to do.
I especially love the people that signed their contract for next year, spent the whole summer trying to find jobs, and then in July are like, remember that contract? I was actually joking. Never mind.
That is your right. That is within your right to do that.
If we live in a world that most employers can lay you off without any notice, I think that we have that same right to them.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And they deserve it. Thank you guys for submitting. We're very excited to read all about what has happened to you and offer our yap.
Yep. Validate you, criticize you, whatever
but you
happens.
You did pay $4, so I try really hard to not criticize you. I try to be kind, even when you're wrong.
And usually we're on you guys' side. It's rare that we get someone and we get someone where you and I have both been like, no.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Remember the key one where someone had lost like 10 keys to their classroom and you and I were both like, you know what? I am on the principal's side.
The key confetti episode.
That's really not cool. Yeah.
Yeah. That person was a patron and I'm so sorry. I just.
But like, I had to hold your hand when I said it, but I needed to say it. Like,
we just want you to know that we love you, but you know, I could see the perspective.
I think we all have something to say.
Yeah. So, okay. Do you want to go first or do you want me to go first?
I can go.
Okay.
Do you want me to read a specific one from the email?
Can you read the first one? Chelsea, I think.
Yeah. Okay. Oh, good. This is a long one. Subject line, why I quit the year and campus from hell. Perfect. Hey, friends, let's get into why I quit my campus from hell this year. Apologies for how disgustingly long it is, but my last day was 3 days ago. They sent this in the beginning of June for context. I am an English teacher and I have shit to say. Setting the scene. I worked at the biggest campus, roughly 4,000 students in a big district in Texas. At the end of the 22 to 23 school year, after teaching freshman English for 5 years, I was put onto a district curriculum team to design units for new teachers in the district and was a finalist for Teacher of the Year. I also had the most kick-ass team of women that would constantly innovate to make sure English could be relevant and fun for the students. All of this progress and success had me feeling really confident in my work, so I decided to challenge myself and switch to a new grade level where I would be team lead over 3 people, I hadn't worked with before, 2 of which were men, so I started making predictions on how they will let me down. I like that you went into it with that mindset. Perfect. In July, one of the AP Lang teachers quit, so I was also offered a few sections of that, in parentheses, my dream, and I accepted. On top of all of this, I signed up for a boot camp program that added 9 hours of Zoom classes and a bunch of homework every week. I figured as long as I had the support of my campus and the thrill of getting to teach some of my favorite students again, I would be fine, LOL. Oh, I wish I had met you at this time. I wish I could have held your hand and said you need to give one of those things up. Actually, I don't think you would have listened, maybe. So maybe this is a lesson we had to learn on our own. The year starts, my AP team rocks and tries their best to help me transition into the role, but the sheer amount of text to read and essays to grade was overwhelming, especially when I'm across the school from them and my department leaders. Our school is so large that they are literally a quarter of a mile away. Jesus. My non-AP team is split across the school too, but they are ... useless. They can never make it to meetings or they show up extremely late. They don't have any original ideas. Quote, yeah, whatever you said sounds good, I guess. And if I directly assign them tasks to do, they don't do them. As a STAR tested subject, STAR is the standardized test in Texas. And I think Ms. Bond was telling us you have to pass it to graduate. It's not like the state I'm in, you can fail it. And they're like, we still love you. As a star tested subject, we're required to be pretty aligned with the lessons. Because I've always prided myself on being a creative person and I don't want to disappoint in my kids, I decided to just get everything done myself. Sleep be damned. This was cool until I started having panic attacks in between class.
Oh, I know.
I literally feel so bad for you. I'm so sorry. I'm laughing. It's all just so typical and predictable. And
so I've
been you. It's so familiar. I have seen these walls. I have felt these fabrics. Like, My boyfriend and I, who had just moved in together, basically got no time where I wasn't working or panicking about the amount of work I needed to do. This definitely wasn't worth the few hundred dollars a semester for the team lead title, so I decided to go to admin for help. My instructional coach tried her best and took the, well, I'll just do it for you approach and designed assignments and lessons for us because my team was, as I said, useless. With little control over what I was teaching, it made me hate my job even more. I found myself rolling my eyes at boring articles, confusing questions, and felt so lost when trying to make the work engaging for kids because it wasn't even engaging to me. This is so real. This happened to me my first year too, where I was literally like having mental fucking breakdowns over working like 14 hours a day. And my instructional coach was like, here, I'll give you materials. And I literally was like, these are bad and stupid. Like, I know you're trying to help me, but this activity makes no fucking sense.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'm so sorry.
Yeah.
But I feel worse now. I wish someone had just said to me, literally anyone, spend $50 on Teachers Pay Teachers.
Oh.
Because there is good stuff out there. I'm not saying you have to create everything on your own, mm-hmm. but I know how fucking isolating it feels when you are like grasping for help and then your district gives you an activity that makes no sense, has no directions, and there's no way your kids are going to be able to do it, like, effectively. Not like anything's wrong with the kids, but you get what I'm saying.
100%. And, like, that Teachers Pay Teachers pack that you're going to buy that goes with your curriculum perfectly is so much cheaper than the therapy session you're going to need when you have a fucking mental breakdown in the middle of the day. Just go ahead. Invest in yourself.
I still distinctly remember when I was in this spot having this mental breakdown and my curriculum, I don't remember what her title was, the person at the district in charge of my curriculum, brought me this little activity for my class that was like words and definitions in a picture, and they had to match them, like, for our unit, like, cool, whatever. She only brought two of them, and I had classes of like 20 kids, and they hadn't learned that stuff yet. So I was like, how do they know the answer? Like, I was like, is there like a book they read or like an article they read and then they do it? Because I was like, we didn't learn this yet. Like, she gave me that to teach them that. And I was like, they don't know what the Battle of Saratoga is. Like, I never taught it. And she was like, oh, well, through like investigative inquiry and talking with each other, that's how they figure it out. And I was like, this activity is good, but like, it's not a standalone activity, bitch.
It's like,
and I think that that's just the worst fucking feeling in the world when you're drowning and someone gives you something and you can't even explain why it's bad. It's just not what you need.
No. And that to me sounds like she gave you that activity. It was like, I know the correct buzzwords to say that translate directly to, I can sit these kids on their Chromebooks or let them alone and sit my butt on my desk. They're doing investigative inquiry. They're very...
No, literally. And the whole time I was like, they don't know who Sherman is. Like, when did we tell them?
Right.
And the same thing, like, she would send me PowerPoints that it was like World War I, and it was like four slides that had like one or two bullets each. And I was like, they simply do not know this, and I need to tell it to them, and that's the part I need help with.
I need to tell it to them. Oh, it's so stressful.
So I was like, yeah, your little fucking vocab matching is great. If they knew it.
Right. Like, exactly. Now okay. They're going to be frustrated and you're going to be frustrated.
We're all going to yell.
As parents and teachers, we all want to set our children up for success. Maybe your child is struggling with a specific subject, or your students needed a little extra help with homework, or maybe they're asking questions that you're just not sure how to answer. And, you know, if your child is ahead and not getting challenged enough in class, IXL can be the perfect tool for them too. Yes, IXL, you know her, you love her. IXL is an online learning program for kids that covers math, language, arts, science, and social studies, and it's designed to help students understand and master topics in a fun, engaging way, and it offers positive feedback along the way. As a teacher, I saw firsthand how IXL can make a difference. Whether a student is struggling with a specific topic or trying to keep up with their class or even aiming to get ahead, and for a lot of parents, one of the most helpful features is the tailored approach IXL takes with every single child. IXL is powered by advanced algorithms that give the right kind of help no matter the student's age or personality. And with just one subscription, you get access to everything. So it's perfect for a household with kids from pre-K to 12th grade. It saves time and money, and a single hour of tutoring costs more than a month of IXL. So it's always worth a shot. Studies have shown that kids who use IXL consistently score higher on tests, and IXL is used in 95 of the top 100 school districts in the United States. So 1 in 4 students in the U.S. are already learning with IXL. Make an impact on your child's learning and get IXL now. And Teacher Quit Talk listeners can get an exclusive 20% off of IXL membership when they sign up today at IXL.com/today. Visit IXL.com/today to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price.
A great workout deserves a great reward. Treat yourself right with new coconut smoothie bowls made with fresh fruit, Purely Elizabeth granola, and now creamy coconut. You earned it. Grab a treat you can feel good about only at Smoothie King.
So back to this person after they received their boring articles and confusing questions. I drafted a lengthy email about all of my issues to the assistant principal over my department, and it went unanswered. That's crazy that they didn't even reply to you. Considering my last AP was known for harassing women in the department and left after having a relationship with another AP on campus while she was going through a divorce, this is still an improvement. And this couple is now married and posting pictures with snarky captions just to stir shit up, by the way. I would like you to send us a separate submission about every detail of that situation, yeah, please, and thank you. Please. I tried to follow up about my email and concerns in my summative conference at the end of the year with my AP, but at that point, she already knew that I was considering leaving and directly asked me if my name was a placeholder on the schedule or not so that she could plan for next year. The AP drama is the least of our worries on campus, though. I hear a million stories of teachers just assigning work online and sitting at their desk. So kids sit on their phones and use AI to do everything because the teachers don't even read it. Hence why parents and students hate me when I call them out and give them zeros. Kids are constantly skipping to vape / do drugs in the bathroom or just wander the halls because admin aren't visible. I don't know why they're definitely not answering their damn email. So it's like, if you're in your office, what are you doing? Because it's not answering emails. We know that for damn sure. We have so many fights on campus that there are Instagram pages dedicated to videos of them. And our district even has 2 Facebook pages run by parents that will share fight videos and get books removed from our libraries and call teachers groomers because a character is gay in a book. And then they'll yell at each other in the comments. Could you link these Facebook groups to me, just on an unrelated note? Meanwhile, my principal tells us that in staff meetings that we work in the customer service industry, so it's our job to cater to these people. Nope. I could go on and on about my campus if y'all ever want me to follow up. We very much do. I chose myself for this next school year and applied to a bunch of tech jobs outside of education, but that's a tough field right now. I'm waiting to hear back about a virtual teaching position that will be a pay cut, but will allow me to work from home and hopefully catch up on some sleep after this chaotic year. Thoughts and or prayers are appreciated. Sending them your way. Sorry for venting. Don't apologize. I've absolutely loved the podcast since episode 1 and love seeing people who aren't afraid to talk about how insane the education system is at the moment. I'm scared for us, but I'm really scared for the kids. Here's to brainstorming ways that we can make it better in and out of the classroom with the champagne clinking emoji. Happy summer.
Oh my gosh. What a...
I want to know everything about this school.
Yeah, I'm like floored a little bit.
We need to have this person on.
No, I want to know.
Do we want to have them on?
I kind of do. Like, I want to know.
Email them back.
I want to know to what degree you're willing to dox yourself also, because I want to know the fights. I want to know all the juicy details about all the tea. Like, there's so much to go through.
I want to speak on the customer service part, because this is one thing my district said to me at new teacher orientation at my new school, that when I heard that, I was viscerally angry. And I was like, I'm not a customer service. No, that's not what education is. And I think that this is another great case of districts having good ideas, bad implementation, and bad marketing of their good ideas. Because once I got into the role, I realized a lot of my colleagues have never had any training in email etiquette or in what's the word I'm looking for? De-escalation. Like, when someone comes to you angry, how to like respond to them gracefully. And those are skills that I learned in a customer service environment. So I wish they had not called it customer service, because it's not the same dynamic as a customer service environment. But those same skills can apply, of like email etiquette. And because that was something that surprised a lot of the teachers at my school. Like, halfway through the year, people were coming to me and they're like, no parents have screamed at you. And I think it's because the times that parents have come in hot, I've like handled it well. And I think it's really lazy for districts to just say, oh, we need to have a focus on customer service, rather than saying, let's do some practiced role play when a parent screams at you. Right. How do you handle that?
Like, what are you talking about?
Yeah. Like, they're just saying customer service, which I think teachers are interpreting as, you want me to be nice to these people that are being fucking nasty to me? And like, they're not our customers. This is a school. Mm-hmm. I think it sets it up for everyone to feel really negative, when I think if we reapproached it as like parental engagement strategies and gave people like actual tangible things. Yeah. Like, someone had to teach me how to give bad news over an email.
Right.
And if no one taught me, because I worked in corporate where I would have to tell people that we're losing lots of money, that things were going wrong, that their deals were going to fall through because of something the company did. Mm. And having to learn how to write to someone and be polite when giving awful fucking news taught me how, when I have a kid who talks back to me, has failed every test, never turns anything in, how I can still approach their parent gracefully. Mm-hmm. When I can see where, if I never had that experience, I might just be like, well, your son never does anything. And then they're going to get really defensive. So I kind of feel them on the customer service, because I've seen some teachers that I'm like, yeah, I would be mad at you too. Why the fuck did you say that? But from your submission, it seems like you're not one of those people. So I see why it landed with you this way. Because if you do have those skills and you're getting told to be nicer, you're like, listen, I've suffered enough.
Yeah, blanket statements like that from admin are so sketchy. Like, a little bit, I don't know. You don't want to make statements like that, because I can totally see how that would be interpreted.
Yeah.
Like, I would be so annoyed.
Customer service.
Yeah.
Like, this isn't Dairy Queen.
No, it is not. And I think a big issue is that a lot of people treat teachers that way. Like, a service industry situation, when it's like, I've worked in both and they're both very, very different with how you engage with stakeholders, I guess you'd call it. I don't know.
Yeah. I hate the term stakeholders, but I don't think there's a better word for it. Like, it's very different, but the same strategies can be applied. So I see why they're viewing them the same, but they're not.
Yeah. Damn. God. And then they're wondering why people quit, you know?
Yeah.
So
when someone calls you a fucking bitch preying on their child's downfall, and you just get told, have good customer service.
Yeah.
And you don't get told how to take a deep breath and some key vocabulary words you can use to respond.
No, that's fucked up, in my humble opinion. So another person quit, and here's what they said. I'm finishing my second year of teaching now. I'm at an element. Well, they're trying to quit. I'm an elementary general music teacher in a district I love. I got a random bad evaluation from my supervisor this year. I tried to be proactive and have a meeting with them to discuss improvement, in which they gave me a couple of vague things to work on. I asked for strategies to help with these things and was told to go seek out other people for advice, because my supervisor hasn't taught general music. They came in two more times in the next month and decided that I didn't show enough improvement in that time. My contract was not renewed, and I'm non-tenured as well. To say I was devastated is an understatement. I was absolutely running myself into the ground, trying desperately to improve my teaching. I was trying everything I could possibly think of, constantly meeting with my mentors and colleagues, trying new strategies, making a ton of fun activities and manipulatives constantly for six grades of kids, and it still wasn't enough. They let me resign, so at least it looks good to other people. But this school has my whole heart. I love the kids and my colleagues so much, even though the lack of support from admin severely tanked my mental health this year. I desperately need this school year to be over, but this was sent in June. But I'm also not ready to leave my kiddos. I've been applying to other schools and I'm waiting to hear from some now, and I'm hoping for a more supportive environment. Oh, that's so hard. We so rarely get people that are quitting, but like not quitting because they are asked to resign so that they're not fired. I mean, that's really sad.
I hate that.
I do too.
That is sad.
I know.
And I hate, this is like kind of a tangent, but I hate how like, especially in America, how much of our like personhood is wrapped up in our career.
Oh, yeah.
I feel like it makes it extra sad because it's like so much about who you are.
Mm-hmm. And teaching especially.
Mm-hmm. Really teaching especially. God.
Because it's what an identity career I've heard it called. And it so is.
What are other identity careers? I feel like nursing is one.
Mm-hmm. For sure.
Finance bro.
I was just thinking that too. Yes. You're so, yes. But also I think anybody can make their job their identity. But then there's like identity careers and workaholics. And those are like sometimes overlapping, but also very separate things.
There's a Venn diagram. Yes. And I think in identity careers, you have to make like a conscious effort to not make it your identity. But I think in any career, if you're insane enough, you can make it your identity.
Oh, 100%.
Like you can work at like Bed Bath and Beyond and still it can be your identity.
Mm-hmm. Oh, ain't that the truth?
Welcome back to Teacher Quit Talk.
We didn't even leave.
Oh, they didn't leave. Yeah, we left. You didn't know.
This has been a month, almost 2 months between these recordings.
No, it has. It's been crazy time. We took a little break and then I got what I think was the plague, but was probably COVID, but somehow never went detected. So that was great.
Oh my God. Whatever was going around was so bad.
Mm-hmm.
So my husband was sick for like two months.
2 months?
Yeah. He got a cold and it like never went away.
Yeah. I had like a cold because I didn't have a fever. I didn't have body aches. I didn't have anything else. It was literally just a stuffy nose and a sore throat. But I was actively sick for probably 15 days. And now I feel better, but I can tell my lungs and like my sinuses are still like getting back in the drive of things. Yeah. Like there's no longer problems, but I can tell it's not 100% back to normal.
I know exactly what you mean. That's the worst. So it was like you got sick. I had a stalker. A
lot going on.
And then now we're back.
We're back.
And everything's fine, I think.
Everything worked out.
All is well.
Because we're aligned cosmically. So that's why it worked out for us and not anyone else.
I always go back and forth as to whether or not I buy into the full moon astrology retrograde shit. But, I mean, something was going on this retrograde.
This is what I have gotten even like male construction workers that don't know their birthday. This is how I've gotten them to buy in on astrology. We all agree that the moon is what causes the tides. We know that. Our body is 97% water. So you can think that it's bullshit about when you were born, but you have to acknowledge that that has to have some kind of impact on us if the thing that we're made of is controlled in crazy powerful ways by the moon that there's so much scientific evidence for. Can't you even entertain the idea that it might have a little bit of an impact on us?
That is so real. I'm going to steal that for the rest of my life.
Because like you cannot believe in like horoscopes and zodiac signs. I think that's valid to be suspicious of. But I think to flat out be like, no, it has no impact on us is just kind of ignorant because like we really don't know.
No, I mean, the kids at school would be acting a certain way. And now, even when I take J or W to like their little classes, I will walk into that room of children and not even knowing what cycle the moon is in, I will be like, this is a full moon. Mm-hmm. It has to be a full moon right now. And I'm always right.
Have you seen ER, like employees, like doctors, nurses,
yes,
everyone that works in the ER? They say the same thing, that full moon, everything is 1,000 times worse.
100%.
Is there a full moon? I don't know if what the astrology is right now.
There was at least yesterday, I think.
I haven't been outside recently. School started, so I'm an inside person now.
We have more submissions for you.
Yes. So,
okay. This is a patron who says, okay, besties, I was on the fence about whether to share this or not, but I've been a fan of your podcast for so long that it felt like time to do something about it. So, your podcast gave me the confidence in my recent decision to quit. I've been thinking about it for a very long time and finally pulled the trigger after another incident with my admin. It's a long little story, not apologizing, just giving you a little note. You are a listener. This situation has a lot of nuance, I believe, and I would love to hear y'all's take on this. I find myself naturally agreeing with you most of the time, and regardless, your conversation always gets me thinking. Oh my God, okay, you buttered our biscuit. Go ahead. It says, I quit my job on the last week of school after admin called me into their office to complain to me about some similar issues that we have been having and coming to terms with. At the end of the day, it always came down to the fact that they don't trust me in any capacity to do my job. Ugh, been there, friend. I have never really felt supported to go to them in situations I have needed to. I have always felt out of sorts in my position there. I was there for 8 years. I coached multiple sports teams, coached and invented a middle school and high school speech and debate team there, ran the middle school yearbook, and administered the credit recovery program. I loved doing all of that, and working with the kids kept me around much longer than I'd like to admit, which, you know, is typical. Anyway, through all of that work, I still never truly felt that my work for the school, teachers, or anything was ever valued. I never got any respect for the work that I did. I was never truly trusted in doing my job. Constant questions from other teachers and admin about why I chose to do certain things, walking up and down the hall, giving me nasty looks, never engaging with me in any capacity outside of when I did something wrong. Oh, that's a big pet peeve of mine. I hate when nobody, like when there's a manager or something who only speaks to you when there's a problem. Mm-hmm. It gives me such anxiety.
And it also, I Mm-mm. think, makes it seem any advice that they give you, you feel is very like disingenuous, because it's like,
yeah,
even if they, how do I explain this? Even if they're being nice, if they only come to you with a problem, you don't feel like they're being genuinely nice, because it's like you only ever come to me about negative stuff. So I feel like you're just being nice to be polite.
Yeah.
Like, ask me how my day is. Ask me like about my parents. Ask me like what my biggest fear is. Do you have a girl? I heard you get nervous. Like, ask me. I want to talk to you.
We talk about building relationships with students all the time. And then like the admin who doesn't do it with teachers, I'm like, what the hell are you doing? Granted, some of that is just my personality and neurotypical mindset playing a role. But like, it did not feel great at all going into a place for work for 8 years while dreading seeing and interacting with any of the adults there. All that said, I quit. I had enough during a meeting addressing some of those things. The mistrust, mistakes I've made, etc. We left that meeting on great terms. My director, I worked at a charter school, specifically said and told me many times in that meeting that I am a great teacher and have done so many wonderful things for the school. 98%, he said, of my professionalism is great and belongs in education. Not 98%. He very much stood for the fact that he believed in me, wanted me to find success, conveyed and supported me getting a fresh start at a new school. Awesome, cool, great. Flash forward. I have had multiple teaching interviews, and at each one, I have been stonewalled by the new school, saying something to the effect of, hey, we talked to your references and we can't hire you. I delved into a bit more and obviously changed my point of contact, but here we are 2 months later and I still don't have a job. My previous admin has basically gone back against everything they said was good about me, and now it's impossible for me to find a job. I think that's illegal. Can't they just only say your start and end date? I thought they can't shit talk you on the phone.
I think it depends on the state.
Oh my God, horrible.
How do I put this kindly? I think as evident in many episodes on this podcast, sometimes administrators aren't exactly the most law-abiding employees around.
Yeah. So true.
So even if it is illegal, I can imagine them being like, Craig? Oh, I fucking hate Craig.
I know. Yeah, that's really true. It says, I still want to be a teacher. I know that I'm good at it. I've looked for jobs in other sectors, but none of them give me that drive or passion that going into education does. I guess there's not really a moral of the story or anything here outside of the simple fact that my previous admin completely downplays my experience as a teacher and will not give anything but negative recommendation to my prospective employers. Again, I'm a writer. I wrote a less ranty and angry version of this in narrative form and was hoping to send. Any advice or conversation would be welcome. Thank you so much. Love the podcast. Keep doing you. Oh my gosh, it's very long.
I do have a piece of advice for them though, because I think I'm seeing the problem here.
Tell us.
You're applying to schools that look into shit. You got to cut that out.
Yeah.
You need to find a school where the administrator has 7,000 unread emails, they're short-staffed, and you gotta apply 3 days before the first day of school. I guarantee you, you're gonna get that job. They are not gonna call your old school. Show up with your certification printed, the job application filled out, and your backpack on, and be like, you need someone? Because
where are my keys, baby?
I was really afraid, because you can imagine, when I was applying to new schools, I did not really have that many administrators I could list as references. That was very scary to me. So my other piece of advice, instead of putting the administrators as your reference, if there's anyone else in the school that has like a fancy title or any kind of clout, use them. So like a department head, maybe a counselor, somebody like that, that might have less negative things to say about you. But yeah, if that reference piece is what keeps knocking you out, apply last minute at a school that's short-staffed. If they interview you and feel like they get a good vibe from you and you have your paperwork in order and you're certified, like that is enough for them to run with. And I don't mean that as an insult to those schools. I think that is enough to run with to hire somebody.
Yeah.
Well, what did I do? So the first sentence out of my mouth was not, if you were in the situation, it was the right thing to say. I said, if you're in Miss Redacted's class, get in here and get your butt in a chair. You're not going to contribute to the hallway chaos because it happened during class changes. So I just went in the hallway and yelled because I was like, if you're in here, we're good. It was only for 15 minutes. And thankfully, an assignment we started yesterday that was a paper assignment, they weren't done with it. So I was just like, let's work on this and then see if it comes back. And then it came back.
It's like you planned it.
I know, right? They really lucked out because I was going to make them do that for homework because they were talking too much, but good for them.
Good for them. My gosh. Well, thank you guys for joining us for this disjointed episode 97 of Teacher Quit Talk. If you want to tell us a story.
We're submitting. We're laughing. We're learning.
Amen, sister friend. And if you want to do so, you can join us on Patreon and you can get, Jay's going to sing you a song, but you can pay $4 and you can get access to everything we've ever released and recorded, and that's it. And you can also submit a story and talk to us if you so choose.
Love you.
Love you, toodaloo.